Welcome to The Talk at Revolution, where each week we explore what it looks like to find Jesus and live like him in a practical way. At Revolution Community Church, we know that we are better together. Each week, we look to celebrate Jesus, connect with others, and contribute to the church, community, and beyond. If you'd like to connect with Revolution or take a next step, please visit us at revolutioncc.org or at our Logansport, Indiana campus, located at 3930 East Market Street. And now, we hope you are encouraged and challenged by this talk.
Thank you for calling the office of Dr. Smith. Your call is important to us and will be answered in the order it was received. You are the 719th caller in line. Thank you for your patience.
No, you may not order a beer with your meal.
Honey, they didn't have mayonnaise. They only had Miracle Whip. Hope that's okay.
Brad.
Brad.
Why are you so angry?
Now, let's give it up for the McFarlands for putting that video together. That was great. Man, have you ever seen so many angry people in this world? We're angry at the news and angry at opposing views. We're angry on the roads and angry in the checkout aisles. We're angry with people we know, and we're angry at total strangers we don't know. We're angry about gas prices and angry about airline rules. We're angry at the government and angry at cancel culture and angry at our neighbors and angry on social media. Man, it really seems like the world has gone mad. And it has. And that's exactly why we're entering into this new three-week theme, this new series, because the world really has gone mad. And here's the deal. We named this theme or this series, The World's Gone Mad, because it has, but we're not going to spend 3 weeks simply railing on all the wrong things in the world that we're mad about. This is not going to be a series of talks where we just blast the world and culture and talk about all the ways that the government's wrong and the CDC got it wrong and this is wrong and that's wrong just to make us feel better. Okay, this is a theme where we're going to work on our own anger, the anger problem that is staring us in the mirror every morning. See, here's the deal about Revolution, and this is something you need to know if you're just like checking things out, maybe online or in the room, thinking about if you want to be part of this amazing community called Revolution. Here's something you need to know about this family called Revolution. We don't use our time on Sundays to just blast culture. Some people think that's what the church should do. That's what a pastor should do, a preacher should do, point out all the wrong things out there. The government this, the news this, that this, like all that's wrong out there. That's not what we do at Revolution. Because guess what? That's not what Jesus did at all. Jesus was always addressing the hearts and lives of the people present in the crowd. Like, woe to you hypocrites was a statement he made when the hypocrites were in the room. Don't worry was a command Jesus gave when there are people worried and anxious on the hillside where he was preaching. There's so many times in the Gospels where he addresses his disciples and confronts them about their own problems and their own hearts, not these superficial things that are wrong out there in the world. So at Revolution, we choose to use our time on Sunday mornings to talk about the person in the mirror that we can actually partner with the Holy Spirit in changing. We use our time to allow the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts and our own lives of what needs to change in us. And some people don't like that. And that's something you need to know about Revolution, because we are going to push up against the problems that we have, because we can actually allow the Holy Spirit to do something and work in our lives. So in light of that, let me ask us a few questions. How many of you got mad about something this week? You don't have to. Oh, okay, you can raise your hand if you want. Yeah, that's all of us, right? What about in the last 24 hours? Did you get mad about something in the last 24 hours? What about this morning before church? You grab Facebook and like you could feel your temperature rising even this morning. And how many of you are getting a little bit mad already because you found out the topic we're talking about for a few weeks and you're like, I don't. So yeah, here's some stats on this. NBC News and Esquire magazine, they surveyed 3,000 Americans and found that half of us say we are angrier today than we were 1 year ago. Nearly 70% of us say that we got angry at least once a day over something we hear or read in the news. We get angry at least once a day over something we hear or read in the news. You know what's crazy about these stats? This survey was done in January of 2016. That seems like the good old days, right? I mean, January 2016. Here's a stat from a study done just this summer. 95% of people reported in this survey reported having had arguments, feeling angry, or having fallen out with someone because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the last election, or some other cultural issue that we're currently facing. Here's a quote from the article. Unmanaged anger can erupt into aggressive behavior against others, which is of particular concern right now. Convenience store clerks are feeling the effects of this. Family members are experiencing fallout from this. Children are experiencing increased danger from this as domestic violence cases have spiked in the past year. And that's alarming, right? But the damaging effects of anger and the risk of anger go far beyond the natural world. So James, the brother of Jesus, here's what he says. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. He's speaking to the church, right? My dear brothers and sisters, fellow Christ followers, the church, take note of this. So if you're not a Jesus follower in the room or online, you're a little bit off the hook. But for those of us that say our life is about following Jesus, we need to lean in here, because James says, take a note of this. Take note of this. Did you ever have a teacher in school, and maybe you're in school right now, that like they were so good about letting you know if something was going to be on the test? And they would like stop and write it on the board like, hey, you want to write this down? You're going to be tested on this later. I had a teacher. My school days are pretty foggy, but I remember Mr. Fissel. He was so good about anything that was going to be on the test. Like he would give us a study guide, and anything you would write it down, let us know. And something else about Mr. Fissel, he had this theory that you're in school for 7 hours a day already. It's pretty much a full-time job. So he didn't give any homework because he felt like it was already a full-time job. And all the students in the room said, amen. Yes, the teachers, I don't know how you feel about that. But so James is like, take note of this. You're going to be tested on this one. You better write this one down. Here it is. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You're like, he was right. That was on the test. I was a pop quiz yesterday on this right here. Everyone should be quick to listen. We're more interested in hearing someone out or gaining more information before making a judgment call or waiting until all the facts come in before taking a stance. Quick to listen. Everyone should be slow to speak, slow to respond things that get the blood boiling, that get under our skin a little bit. We're slow to speak, and everyone should be slow to become angry. We should not, as Jesus followers, get angry quickly or easily. We should not get angry quickly or easily. And many of us, we've likely heard this verse before. We've used this before at Revolution. I mean, this is a timeless verse. This will preach in 2,000 years, 3,000 years. This will still be relevant. And maybe we've heard this before, but I don't think we're as familiar with the verse that comes right after it, because James gives us a reason for this command. He says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So it's not just about getting along better with other people. It's not just about those stats that I read earlier. What James is saying, again, if you're a Jesus follower, we better lean into this, because what he's saying is, if we really desire to please God with our lives, if we really desire to live lives more like Jesus, if we want to see God's purposes realized in this world, if we want our conversation to honor God, if we want our lives to point other people to Jesus, then we should not deceive ourselves into supposing that our human bursts of anger are somehow going to get more people to do that or follow Christ or represent Jesus in a good way. Being a Karen isn't going to point the world back to Jesus. And let me just say this. If there's any Karens in the room or online, like I just want to say on behalf of all of us, I am so sorry for what's happened to your name. I mean, it is just wrong that your name is now known as like an irritable and obnoxious woman, because the Karens I know are incredible ladies. So just putting that out there. But James says there's a better way, right? There's a better way. And he even describes this type of anger as human anger, because there is something called righteous anger. But for the sake of this series, we're going to focus more on the human side of anger. And over these 3 weeks, let me just share with us where we're going over these 3 weeks. We're going to talk about different places where our anger is directed. And in week 3, we're going to talk about mad at them. Whatever them looks like for you, and for all of us, it's probably a little bit different. As we look outward at the things in the world that make us mad, maybe people of a different skin color or political affiliation or religious viewpoint, and how do we work through that anger? That's going to be a tough week. Some of you are like, that's week 3. I'll make sure I'm not here for that. I dare you to be here for week 3. I dare you. In week 2, next week, we're going to talk about mad at us. We're going to get honest about how we sometimes find ourselves angry at other Christ followers. Have you noticed not all Christians get along? Have you been on Facebook 10 seconds? Yeah, that's all it takes. Mad at us. Sometimes within the church, we get mad at each other. So we're going to talk about that next week, week 2. But today we're going to start off with mad at me. And I don't mean you're mad at me, although maybe you are mad at me already in this talk, but I mean like point to yourself, like mad at me. Because let's face it, sometimes the person we are most angry at is ourselves. And if we don't begin to work through the anger we have toward ourselves, we can't begin to work on the anger that is focused elsewhere. Because much of the time, let's think about this. Much of the time, our anger that is focused outward is a result of undealt with internal anger at ourselves. Much of the time, our anger that's focused outward, we think we're mad at this or this person or this thing, it's actually unprocessed anger, internal anger at ourselves. We've all done things or said things that make us mad at ourselves. And sometimes they're just mistakes, right? Sometimes we just get mad because we made a mistake. Like asking a woman when she's due and there's no baby and there's no due. And you're just like, why do I make small talk? It just never works out for me. I've made many mistakes and got mad at myself. One of those, I used to DJ weddings. I don't do that anymore, so don't get a hold of me. When we were planting Revolution, I was doing everything to make money. DJing weddings was one of those things. I was DJing a wedding for some really good friends of ours. And as I was announcing the wedding party, when I announced the groom's name, I got the groom's name right. But then when I announced the bride's name, I said the groom's ex-wife's name. Yeah, whoa, that's exactly what happened. Exactly. Like, and I didn't realize I'd done it until that happened. And then I was like, oh, you know, I realized I was really mad at myself for that mistake. They've forgiven me. So sometimes we're just mad because we make a mistake. But sometimes we're angry at ourselves over much more significant things. That's what you'll remember from this talk, isn't it? I mean, you know what Anthony did once? It's crazy. Sometimes we're angry at ourselves for much more significant things. And I don't know if you're like me, but I can tend to push those things down. and try to forget about them, but they just have this way of stacking on top of one another and kind of popping up. But as I was preparing for this message, I tried to let some of those things come into the light. And without turning this into a personal counseling session, I realized I still have a little bit of anger at myself for not pursuing reconciliation with a friend I lost nearly 5 years ago now. I'm mad at myself for a statement I made to a family member in a group text thread one time. I'm still a little mad at myself, even though I've asked forgiveness for this, for saying a really hurtful statement to a friend last year. And what is it that's underneath that anger I have toward myself? Well, the first word I thought of was regret. But there's also a word underneath regret as well. And here's a simple way of how this works. And we're going to explain this and kind of talk through this. But our sin, it's a big word, we'll explain it. Our sin leads to regret, which often leads to anger. And of course, it leads to many other emotions as well. But we're putting the spotlight on anger because anger is such an issue right now in our lives and in our world. It seems to be popping up so often. Sin leads to regret, which leads to anger, human anger. So let me just give us a basic understanding of this word sin. Sin, it's a biblical word that encompasses the wrong things a person does or does not do. Or here's a simpler way of putting it. Sin is an action or an inaction that goes against God. It's not just a mistake. Like, it is going against God's divine moral law. And sin is usually associated with every regret in some way. If you have a regret, sin is somewhere in that story somewhere, probably. It might not be your own sin, but sin has something to do with that regret, more than likely. And maybe you're here today again, and you're like, I'm just tipping my toe in the waters of following Jesus, and like this whole divine moral law and sin, I'm not sure, Anthony. Even if you're not sure, hang with me, because I think there's something for everybody. Something's going to speak to us in this. The Bible talks about two basic ways that we sin, kind of two categories in a way, sins of commission and sins of omission. Two types of sin, really simple to understand, big words, really simple to understand. Most of the time when we think of sin, we think of sins of commission. A sin of commission, it's a sin that we take action to commit, whether it's a thought, a word, or a deed. Lying is a sin of commission. Stealing, sin of commission. Coveting, sin of commission. Adultery, a sin of commission. We don't think about sins of omission as much, I don't think. But a sin of omission, it's times or situations where we knew we should have done something right, but we didn't do it. We knew we should have said something, but we didn't say it. We knew we should have done something, but we didn't do it. We should have pursued something, but we didn't pursue it. And later in the book of James, the brother of Jesus, we read from his letter earlier, he says this later on. He gives this, after the command against human anger, he says in chapter 4, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. That's sins of omission. And we've all sinned in both of these categories many, many times. And Romans 3:23 is very clear on this. It says, for everyone has sinned. Not a person in this room or watching online that doesn't fit into that statement right there. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. We miss the mark. We fall short of what God requires of us. And here's how serious sin is. It's not just an oops, okay? It's not just messing up a name at a wedding reception, even though that's a big deal. It's here. Sin separates us from God. Sins of commission and sins of omission. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. And other translations use that word separate. Our sin, like falling short of the mark God requires, it actually separates the relationship between us and God. It puts a distance between us. It stops the relationship from going any further, growing deeper, flourishing. It just puts that distance there. Our sin gets in the way. And sin leads to regret, which often leads to anger. And even though our anger might be focused on someone else, or something else, or something out there, the real person that's driving the anger is us. Our sin that leads to regret, that leads to anger. And the reason I laid out these two types of sin, sins of commission and omission, is because I believe, like, the church, Like, we fixated on sins of commission, and we've often forgot about sins of omission. We practice holiness by subtraction, like don't do this and don't do this and don't do that. And we fail to think about like the things we should do. And the problem is, like, you can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. And righteousness, living in right standing with God, that's a word James used as well. What he talks about in verse 20 of chapter 1, it's far more than just doing nothing wrong. It's doing something right. It's not just resisting temptation. It's going after God-ordained opportunities. It's saying what needs to be said. It's doing what needs to be done. It's forgiving someone that has hurt you. That's a big one. Like, unforgiveness is a sin of omission. It's not forgiving someone that we need to forgive. It's not doing what we know is right. It's a huge one. And I'm sharing all this because reflecting on both categories of sin and opening up our mind and heart to this is what is necessary to deal with the root of anger that we often have toward ourselves. Dallas Willard was a great theologian, author, writer. He talked about spiritual disciplines a lot. He died of cancer in May of 2013. I think it was May. And Pastor John Ortberg, a guy that I've read several of his books and followed many years, he was able to talk to Dallas Willard right before he passed. And he asked this great theologian and author and Christ follower, "Do you have any regrets?" And this incredible man of God, he said this: "I regret the time I have wasted." Dallas Willard didn't regret stealing a pack of gum from a grocery store when he was 12. He didn't regret that lustful thought he had back in his 20s. He regretted his sins of omission. And I think sometimes we miss the root of our anger because we fail to think about it in this way. And often deep-seated regret in life is a result of sins of omission, not doing what we knew was the right thing to do. And so what I want to do for just a moment, and you don't have to write anything down yet, but there should have been a piece of paper at your seat. Why don't you just grab it real quick? And there's a question on the front of it if you haven't noticed it already. And there's some space on the back, just some blank space, because we're going to take some time to reflect today. But I don't want you to write anything down yet because we got a little bit of work left to do here. But one of the things we're going to do is allow the Holy Spirit to open our heart to maybe something that we haven't dealt with properly below the surface in us, that's fueling and driving some of that anger that we are focusing out there, but it's actually something in here. So just think on that question. Read that question on the front for just a moment. And maybe already, like, the Holy Spirit's bringing things to your mind, your heart, of some stuff that you need to kind of reflect on and respond to. So we're going to come back to that in a second. So what do we do with these sins that lead to regret, that lead to anger? It's so simple. We live out a different process. We live out a different process. This is not a complicated talk today. And we have to start with this word right here, or this action right here, confession. There's only one cure for sin, and it's confession. Own up to your sin out loud to God and others. That's what it is. Own up to your sin out loud to God and others. And you're like, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. And it's also that hard. It's that hard. Because you have to let your pride fall down to come to the realization that I'm not just angry because of politics and other people and culture. I'm angry because I haven't confessed my sin to God and others. There's something wrong that I've done that I have not made right. There's something right that I didn't do that I need to make right. And look at this promise, 1 John 1:9. It's this incredible promise about confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise to us. Confession brings forgiveness every time. Foolproof. This never doesn't work. 100% effective against sin is this action of confession. This works better than Clorox wipes, by the way. 99.9% effective. This is 100%, okay? And don't forget that as you think about confession is 100% effective against these roots of sin in our life. Proverbs 28:13, it says this: "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." The consequences of concealment far outweigh the consequences of confession. We rot in our anger. We do not prosper. Here's some antonyms for the word prosper. We collapse, we deteriorate, we wither, we regress. That's what happens when we conceal sin. But here's what comes after confession. Confession leads to healing. Instead of regret, there's healing. James 5:16, toward the end of the book, James says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." But just a little practical thing, by the way, if you need to go to someone else and confess something you've done wrong, man, pray that thing out. After you've confessed it, after you've worked through it and there's forgiveness, like, pray that thing out right there. Pray for healing to happen in the relationship. Pray for healing to happen in each of your lives. And what is healing? What is that? What is this thing called healing? Healing, here's the dictionary definition. It's the process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. Once confession has happened, you officially enter into a process called healing. That's how it works. Once confession happens, you officially enter a process. And sometimes there's like an immediate miracle of healing. It sometimes works that way. Other times, oftentimes, this is my experience, just how our body takes time to heal and recover from a sickness, so does our soul. Our soul takes time. I remember last December when I had COVID, it was a couple weeks of really bad and just sickness and, lack of strength and all that stuff. But it was months before I could run like I used to or exercise like I used to. It takes time. It's a process of healing. It's the same with our soul. But once you confess, you are officially on the process. You're officially in the process of healing. And here's the healing I believe God wants to do. And Paul writes this. And by the way, Paul, he was an expert in this because he had so much baggage of sin that led to regret, that led to anger in his life. But he lived out a different process and changed everything. And he said this. He was able to say this. I focus on this one thing. Which is funny because then he gives us two things. But he says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Think about the healing in this, okay? When Paul says forget the past, the word forget means to treat with thoughtless inattention. It doesn't mean to have your memory erased like a laptop computer, like delete the file or whatever. We wish the past worked that way, but it doesn't work that way. What it means is this. We stop opening the file. We give it no attention. We treat it with thoughtless inattention. Let me say it this way. Don't dig up what you've already dealt with. Don't dig up what you've already dealt with. Can we say that together, actually? Don't dig up what you've already dealt with. What failure from your past? Like, you've confessed it. You've entered the process of healing, and you just need to start treating it with thoughtless inattention. Maybe that's some of what you need to reflect on in our moments here in just a second. You've confessed it. Now it's time to heal. Heal. Think about this when it comes to healing. Did you know a Christ follower is never called a sinner in the scriptures? Never. Yes, as followers of Jesus, we sin. All of us have sinned, as we saw in Romans 3, right? We pursue stuff that puts distance between us and God. But when we choose to confess our sins and embrace the grace of Jesus, our identity is never that of a sinner. You are not known to God by your deepest regret or your biggest mistake or that action. Like, you are never called a sinner. Yes, we sin, but that's not who you are. We can live out a different process. Because when we confess and when we begin that process of healing, here's what happens. There's peace. Instead of anger, we experience more peace. It's a process. Healing's a process. And there's days where you feel it and days where you don't. But that is the outcome of living out this other process. Peace in you and peace in your relationships. So let's grab that again and let's lower the lights just a little bit if we can. I don't know if you guys have that setting or not. I should have mentioned that, but I just want you, let's just take a moment here and reflect on that question on the front. And maybe there's something you haven't confessed yet and that's what you need to write down. Or maybe there's something you have and you just need, like, maybe there's a prayer you even write out to God. Like, God, help me to heal. Like, bring healing. I need healing in this area. So let's just take 60 or so seconds to kind of work through this. So God, I know that the work you're doing is just getting started in these moments. So give us the strength. Holy Spirit, be with us. Partner with us in this to give us the strength to keep going. I love this quote by Max Lucado, and I'll leave us with this, and then we're going to kind of sing a song that speaks of this. He said, "The wasted years of life, the poor choices of life, God answers the mess of life with one word, grace." Grace. And this song really speaks of what God does in our life to flip the script. So let's just stand, let's sing it and celebrate together.